Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The China Matrix, the epic story of how Donald Trump shattered a deadly pact by Lee Smith is a political and geopolitical nonfiction book about the long evolution of U.S.-China relations and the domestic interests that, in Smith's account, helped sustain American engagement with the Chinese Communist Party. Positioned as investigative commentary rather than academic history, the book argues that major political, corporate, financial, technological, and educational institutions in the United States benefited from ties with Beijing, while ordinary Americans absorbed the costs through deindustrialization, strategic vulnerability, and weakened sovereignty. Smith frames Donald Trump as the disruptive figure who challenged the bipartisan consensus that China could be integrated into a liberal global order without grave consequences. The book covers historical opening diplomacy, trade policy, technology platforms, fentanyl, finance, universities, and alleged elite entanglements. Its purpose is to explain how a decades-long accommodation with China became, in Smith's view, a structural crisis in American politics and national security. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the engagement consensus from Kissinger-era diplomacy to modern strategic dependence. A central topic in the China Matrix is the long life of the American engagement consensus, beginning with the opening to Communist China during the Nixon and Kissinger period and continuing through later administrations. Smith treats this not merely as a diplomatic shift, but as the start of an elite framework that interpreted closer relations with Beijing as historically inevitable and economically beneficial. The book argues that this framework softened American judgment about the nature of the Chinese Communist Party and encouraged policymakers to believe that trade, investment, and institutional contact would moderate China over time. Smith's emphasis is on the gap between expectation and result. Instead of producing liberal convergence, he argues, engagement created new channels of dependence, gave Beijing leverage over American decision-makers, and made it harder for the United States to defend its own industrial and strategic interests. The importance of this topic is that it places current tensions in a long historical sequence. The problem is not presented as a sudden rivalry caused by one administration, but as the accumulated outcome of policy habits that made China central to global supply chains, elite wealth, and diplomatic assumptions. Secondly, how political, corporate, and financial incentives aligned with Beijing, Smith's book focuses heavily on the incentives that connected American elites to China. In his account, the relationship was not sustained only by diplomatic optimism, it was reinforced by material benefit. Corporations gained access to manufacturing capacity, cheap labor, and the promise of Chinese markets. Financial institutions benefited from investment flows and the integration of China into global capitalism. Political actors, lobbyists, consultants, and policy specialists help normalize these ties by presenting them as modernization, efficiency, or global leadership. The book argues that this alignment produced a conflict between elite interests and national interests. If American industry declined, supply chains migrated abroad, and communities lost manufacturing power. Those costs were often dispersed across the public, while gains remained concentrated among institutions with direct access to China. This topic matters because it explains why the engagement model persisted, even after evidence of strategic risk became harder to ignore. Smith presents the China issue as a problem of domestic political economy, not only foreign policy. The book, therefore, asks readers to examine who benefited from China policy and who carried the consequences. Thirdly, Donald Trump as the disruptive force against the bipartisan China model. The subtitle signals the book's core narrative claim: Donald Trump disrupted a long-standing pact between American elites and Beijing. Smith portrays Trump not simply as a president who adopted tougher policies, but as a political figure who made the China question visible to voters in a new way. Tariffs, trade confrontation, scrutiny of technology platforms, and public emphasis on manufacturing are presented as part of a broader challenge to the assumption that globalization with China was automatically beneficial. In Smith's interpretation, Trump's importance lies in his refusal to treat the old consensus as expert wisdom. By framing China policy around sovereignty, industrial strength, border security, and national self-interest, Trump forced political and business leaders to defend arrangements that had often operated with limited public scrutiny. This topic is important because it distinguishes the book from general histories of U.S.-China relations. Smith is less interested in describing China as an external rival alone than in showing how Trump exposed the domestic networks that had normalized accommodation. Whether readers accept his political framing or not, the book uses Trump as the pivot around which the old China policy order is reassessed. Fourthly, technology, universities, and information channels as arenas of influence. Beyond trade and diplomacy, the China Matrix examines arenas where influence can operate through institutions that appear civilian, commercial, or educational. Smith discusses technology platforms, American universities, finance, and information networks as sites where Chinese state interests may intersect with American openness. The book points to issues such as TikTok, research partnerships, elite academic relationships, and the role of major technology figures to argue that the China challenge is not limited to military power or tariffs. It is also about data, intellectual property, public narrative, and institutional access. The reasoning behind this focus is that modern geopolitical competition often works through dependency rather than direct coercion. A country can lose strategic freedom if its universities rely on foreign-linked funding, its companies depend on Chinese markets, its platforms shape information flows in opaque ways, or its investors avoid policies that might anger Beijing. Smith presents these fields as connected parts of a larger matrix of influence. The value of this topic is its attention to non-traditional security concerns. It encourages readers to think about sovereignty in terms of knowledge systems, digital infrastructure, and elite incentives, not only ships, troops, and treaties. Lastly, national sovereignty as the organizing principle of Smith's policy critique. The book ultimately advances a sovereignty-centered critique of American-China policy. Smith argues that the United States must break the domestic alliance of interests that made Beijing's rise profitable for influential Americans while weakening national resilience. This includes renewed attention to industrial capacity, strategic supply chains, technology control, border security, fentanyl trafficking, and the accountability of institutions that benefited from the China relationship. The argument is not presented as a narrow call for diplomatic hostility, but as a demand to restore the ability of the American public to decide policy without hidden economic dependence on a rival authoritarian power. This topic also reveals the book's limits. Smith writes from a clearly defined political perspective, and readers who prefer detached academic analysis may find the framing more prosecutorial than neutral. Still, the sovereignty lens is analytically significant because it connects many otherwise separate issues: trade deficits, social media platforms, university research, finance, and drug trafficking are treated as parts of one strategic problem, whether American institutions serve the national interest or the interests of a transnational elite order that has grown comfortable with Chinese Communist Party power. In conclusion, the China Matrix is best suited for readers interested in U.S.-China rivalry, national security, populist conservative foreign policy, and the domestic politics of globalization. It will especially appeal to readers who want a forceful argument about how economic elites, policymakers, technology companies, universities, and financial institutions may have helped create American dependence on China. The practical benefit of the book is that it organizes many current disputes, including tariffs, supply chains, TikTok, fentanyl, university research, and political corruption allegations, into a single framework centered on sovereignty and elite accountability. Its intellectual benefit is less in offering a neutral textbook survey than in presenting a coherent indictment of the engagement consensus that shaped U.S. policy for decades. Compared with many books on China that focus primarily on Beijing's military modernization, party ideology, or diplomatic ambition, Smith's book stands out by concentrating on the American side of the relationship. It asks why influential Americans tolerated or encouraged arrangements that increased Chinese leverage. That makes the book distinctive within the geopolitical nonfiction category. It is not only about the rise of China, but about the American political economy that made that rise so advantageous to powerful domestic actors. If you would like to support Lee Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.